Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. The Book of Psalms is a collection of Hebrew poems that are said to have been written by King David of Israel. The term psalm actually comes from the Greek. It means songs sung to a harp, which explains the many depictions in painting of David playing that instrument. Here's one particularly beautiful passage where David is appealing to God. If I say, "Surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night," even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Of course, for us mere mortals, darkness and light are not alike, either metaphorically or literally. Our language is full of associations of light with beauty or joy or goodness, and of dark with sadness, despair, or tragedy. Light, in other words, is usually preferable. For a tiny group of people, however, light spells danger, serious, life-threatening danger, so they seek darkness. Producer Marty Covington introduces us to them in today's program. It's called Sunshine and Darkness.
Guys, before we go in there, everybody's got to be on their best behavior.
A chartered bus filled with campers just pulled into the parking lot at Howe Caverns in upstate New York.
Hi, is everybody asleep? Or is everybody awake now? Well, welcome to Howe Caverns. You can leave the coach right here if you want to.
Yeah?
It'll be fine.
Great,
we're not expecting
you.
Anybody else tonight.
Guys, watch your steps, walk to the caverns.
Howe Caverns is one of New York's most popular tourist attractions, so it's not unusual to see a bus full of campers here. It's just surprising to see them arrive at midnight. Four teenage guides spend the next 2 hours taking campers, parents, and friends on a tour through the caverns where they explain the names of different rock formations.
Right over here is the first guardian of Titan's Temple. This is Morla the fire lizard. There's the tail of Morla.
Yes, this looks and sounds just like any daytime tour, except these campers can't come out then. They all have diseases that make sunlight deadly to them. That's why Camp Sundown activities take place after dark. 11 years ago, Karen Mahar didn't know that ultraviolet light could scorch a child within seconds. Back then, she and her husband Dan had 3 older children who liked to go outside and play. But their baby Katie would start crying anytime sunlight touched her skin.
She would bubble and blister and burn in front of our eyes.
When I was 2 on my birthday, I got burned straight down my arm. Right there's where I got my scar from my first third-degree burn. It hurt a lot. I was screaming.
It took the Mahara family months to find out that Katie has a rare disease known as xeroderma pigmentosum. She blisters and burns in sunlight because her body doesn't repair damage from ultraviolet rays. The same amount of UV that gives most of us a tan leaves her with large-scale cell damage. Dr. Kenneth Kramer.
Well, xeroderma pigmentosum, which we call XP because it's so difficult to pronounce, is a very rare disorder. And the people are affected are usually children who are very sensitive to the sunlight.
Only a handful of laboratories exclusively study this disease. One of them does belong to Dr. Kramer, who is a research dermatologist for the National Cancer Institute, a part of the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. He says understanding xeroderma pigmentosum means recognizing the dangers that come with sunshine, or more accurately, the ultraviolet rays which the sun produces.
They go out in the sun and they can develop freckling, and then if they keep being exposed to the sunlight, they can eventually develop cancers at a very early age. XP patients have a 1,000-fold increased risk of developing skin cancer and cancer of the eyes. We estimate that XP occurs a frequency of about 1 in 1,000,000, which means there are maybe a few hundred patients in the United States. XP, though, is found all over the world.
But it's not found often. So many physicians don't suspect XP when they see babies or toddlers with skin problems. Even if they did, xeroderma pigmentosum isn't easy to diagnose. Identification requires testing live cells in a specialized laboratory. It takes a really long time to receive results. Katie had turned 2 years old before her parents read the official diagnosis.
It was after the 8th third-degree burn that she had. Then we got the diagnosis back for XP. And unfortunately, it takes about 6 months from when they take a biopsy. It was like mourning the death of your child before they died, that her whole life was being taken away from her before she got a chance to enjoy playing in the grass in her bare feet or looking at butterflies.
So few people have xeroderma that Katie risked living her entire life without meeting another child who also had XP and the restrictions that came with it. That's why Karen and Dan found 9 other couples with XP children. The Maharas invited those families to their home near Poughkeepsie, sight unseen, and held the first Camp Sundown gathering. Since then, Camp Sundown has grown from a home-based get-together each week for 3 consecutive weeks during the summer. Camp volunteers host a different group of people. Camp Sundown is actually an outgrowth from the Xeroderma Pigmentosum Society, founded by Dan and Karen Mahar after Katie's diagnosis. The camp is free to people who have xeroderma and their families.
The XP Society is about children who can't be in the light of day, which includes anything from xeroderma pigmentosum, which is what we were started for, lupus, albinism, vitiligo, solar urticaria, achromatopsia, a bunch of other diseases and conditions that require that you can't be in daylight.
The camp also helped the Mahara parents accomplish their original goal. Their daughter Katie now has friends who understand life from her perspective.
The nice thing about camp is like we're all coming home to like a place that we all can be together without like anybody nagging us, calling us names.
Every year, families from all over the world come to XP camp. They leave with useful information and happy memories. Children, teens, and young adults with the disease have a chance to experience new things, rekindle old friendships, and feel normal. Fatima Perez of Connecticut really felt sad when a foot operation prevented her from going to camp last year.
I can dance good because my foot...
The surgery hasn't quite stopped her from dancing.
I hear music and my body moves automatically.
But an operation to remove a cancerous tumor on her foot not only prevented Fatima from going to Camp Sundown, it kept her in a wheelchair for 45 days.
When my foot is good, oh, I dance. I really dance the floor.
Fatima has endured dozens of surgeries because she didn't know much about the disease until she became an adult.
All my life, for about 33 years, I was exposed to the sun. That's why they're removing all these cancers. Skin cancer they removed from my foot, my thigh here also, and my neck.
Repeated exposure to the sun and several eye operations that also left her blind. Dr. William Clark Lambert, professor of pathology and dermatology at New Jersey Medical School in Newark, says learning about cumulative damage is one of the most important steps an XP patient can take to limit tumor growth.
It's something that builds up over time. If you have someone who's diagnosed with xeroderma pigmentosum when they're 5 years old, but they have already accumulated a lot of sun damage to their skin, really, if you protect that person from the sun for the rest of their life, they're still probably going to get an awfully large number of skin cancers because of the damage already done to the skin.
I feel lucky because people with xeroderma who get exposed to the sun like the way I did, is supposed to be deaf. And people with xeroderma, they are supposed to grow hundreds of skin cancers. But I have had about no more than 40 surgeries. Under 30, really.
But multiple surgeries leave multiple scars. A first glance raises questions. You want to know what happened or if what she has is contagious.
When I was living in the Dominican Republic, I was rejected by society. And then after I lost my sight, blind people in my country are treated like garbage, really. And they keep the person with any kind of disability, especially the blind, in the backyard, in a chair. Or people just send them to the corner on the street to beg for money, you know? So when I saw myself in that situation, I said, this is not Fatima, this is not me.
That determination led her to learn English, find a sponsor, and eventually move to the United States. Here she developed new skills which have made her independent.
Even though I am blind, I don't feel handicapped. I can do a lot. I can cook, I can clean, I can do like any other person who can see.
Fatima also became computer literate and found other XP patients through Camp Sundown. They support each other with email and funny poems.
We all want some more of Camp Sundown, please. Don't make us go home.
Fatima credits the computer with helping her to complete a correspondence course for a high school diploma from Hadley School for the Blind in Chicago. But internet technology has also helped balance her life. She is able to interact with people who understand what it's like to spend a lot of time shielded from the sun.
As a group, we give support to each other, and I think it is wonderful. I look ahead to my future with hope. I am the kind of person that always try to look for positives in every situation. This has just reminded me how strong I am and that I am a fighter.
The voice you hear is part of a software program called JAWS. JAWS stands for Job Access with Speech. The Freedom Scientific Company created it specifically for blind people. The program provides an invisible cursor on the computer screen. The cursor lets users roam all over a web page the way the sighted do. The blind user can access links, toolbars, and dialog boxes because the program's software verbally explains keyboard commands.
Outlook Express, yes button, Outlook Express dialog. You are currently working offline.
The software does more than let the blind read an email or word processing page. It gives them the ability to build sentences, correct grammar, and even catch spelling mistakes.
I can go back and forth.
I am so happy that we finally have.
Finally.
Finally. Space F-I-N-A.
See, I have a problem here. Wait a minute.
Finally. Space F.
And I can tell because it's a finally, and I know it's not finally, okay? Here I think, what is wrong?
L.
Another L.
Finally.
Okay?
Have met, period.
Have met.
The program also gives Fatima flexibility. She decides how quickly the words are spoken.
In the beginning, when we get this program, it's hard for some people to understand the voice, but I have been using this program for about 5 years already. Some other blind people feel that it's slow. I keep it in a low rate. Here, make the voice faster and faster or lower and lower.
38%.
See? 38.
40%. 41%. 45%.
And 70, you don't even understand what
50%.
It says. I have a friend who keep it in there. I can't understand it at all.
37%.
Okay, right there. Between 36 and 37, I keep it.
Fatima doesn't spend all of her time sitting in a darkened apartment reading email. While people online know her only by the letters she writes,
I never have had my family support. Thank God my friends have been around helping me out.
Friends who live nearby see her as an extraordinary person and not the victim of genetic disease.
Well, she goes beyond, above and beyond just what anybody would expect of her. Have you ever seen her cook a Thanksgiving dinner all by herself and no help? She did that for us when we met her.
Jelly Leon met Fatima nearly 15 years ago through relatives. Jelly says her friend's determination, independence, and intellect is so well developed that Jelly sometimes forgets Fatima is blind or has XP.
She's a walking Rolodex. That's what she is. She memorizes things like amazing. My husband's been here since the age of 18. He's 38 right now, I think. Now, Fatima speaks way better English. You know, in less time, in less than, what was that, 3 months, was it? Hello? Wow, with that gift, girl, you could go places.
Jelly, Gene Wood, and Cheryl Noga say Fatima's personality and intelligence outweigh her physical appearance.
When I first met Fatima, she couldn't put a sentence together.
Gene and Fatima met in Job Corps, where Gene worked as a teacher and Fatima took classes.
She could hardly put a noun and then a verb. Now she writes in paragraphs. And this has only been a few years. She got herself through high school on a very difficult courses. She has the most delicious love of life of probably anybody I know. I would like to be her friend no matter what.
But intelligence and determination has not helped Fatima stay employed. She got a job right after graduation, but quit within months. Her former employers had located her JAWS-equipped computer just yards from big bay windows. She had to pass those windows every time she used the bathroom or went to lunch. That became a real problem. Constant UV exposure became too unhealthy for her. But the alternative, putting on her UV special clothes, became too cumbersome.
I can try it on if you want. Just hold it. Hold it there.
Oh, this is heavy.
It's denim, and it is... look at that. It's sewn double.
Now she spends her days on the computer and with friends. Cheryl Toga sees Fatima several times a week. She visited Camp Sundown and often helps Fatima run errands or even takes her on trips. In January, Cheryl took Fatima to meet her favorite recording artist, Julio Iglesias.
Also, if you want, I can get my glasses.
Cheryl says she's used to the second looks people have when the 4 foot 11 inch petite XP patient passes by, completely draped in double layered black denim with her face covered.
I'm waiting to get stopped by a state police officer because I've got Fatima in the car. She's in the front seat and she's got blankets over her head and she's all covered up and it's, you know, 100 degrees outside in July. You know, I went driving by a state trooper and was like, hello. And I said, Fatima, don't move. Just act like you're in laundry or something.
Oh, man.
Fatima still wants to find work. She just knows that her next employer will need to understand the dangers and limitations of XP.
And this is a fiasco. When I'm going out, I get all these things out.
Here comes Mama, do you know about blue sweatshirt is? In your car?
Yeah, in your car.
17-year-old XP patient Alex Johnson lives in Greensboro, North Carolina. Unlike Fatima, she has parents who learned everything possible about her disease and then did the best they could to keep her cancer-free. They've been very successful.
I haven't been burned since I was 2. A lot of patients have had like 200 biopsies done, and I've only had like 4. Just because my parents take such good care of me, they've taught me to take care of myself when I'm not around them.
Deborah Johnson says their dermatologist suspected that blonde-haired, blue-eyed Alex had xeroderma when she was an infant.
Well, she was 10 days old when she started showing signs of having a problem. But it took us from that point to about 18 months of age to figure out what was going on. Finally, her face had been burned so many times that she started freckling. And that was sort of what triggered XP for him, because he said that a child shouldn't have that many freckles at that age. Usually you would see that many when they'd get around the age of 6.
From that point on, Deborah Johnson says their lives changed. They put wooden panels on the windows of their van. They covered the windows of their home in rubber-backed drapes until they could get properly tinted windows. They built a special tent in the car, which completely blocked light from Alex.
She was always riding under something. She couldn't see anything.
Then one year, a car window tinting company visited Camp Sundown. The owners offered free UV-blocking screens to any family who would take them on the spot.
When we left camp that year, we were the first hour of the trip coming back home. We were just had this huge lump in our throat just listening to her sit back there, and she would read road signs. And I mean, she had never been able to do anything like that. She had never been able to ride in a car and actually see outside of the windows, at, you know, what was around her.
As Alex got older, the Johnsons launched a two-person XP education campaign. Their first stop, the Guilford County school system. They learned at XP camp that federal law gave all U.S. children the right to a free public education, no matter what disability they had. Many school systems choose to tutor XP children rather than make the changes necessary to keep them safe. But the Johnsons convinced officials in Alex's school district to do something else.
This is the middle school. This is the high school.
During the last 12 years, Carl Jobe has supervised and approved more than $30,000 worth of renovations and three school buildings to make them accessible for Alex. He had several files of information to sort through before he could explain how much some of those changes had cost.
When she went to Southern High School, the window film alone was $17,000. But before we could put the window film on, we had to change $4,800 worth of glass to adhere to it. Then I realized that the metal halide lights in the gym put out more UV than a normal fixture. So we changed all the lights in the gym to a low UV light. And that was another $6,000.
Job found out something when he replaced regular school windows with tints that block 99% of all ultraviolet rays.
For our new facilities, I've recommended that we go to low UV fixtures and bulbs just because it's more pleasing to the eye for everyone. It's just a better light.
Job's renovations have made the main high school building an XP safe haven. But it's her personality and not her illness that has made Alex a well-known student in school.
I remember how you told me I should trust you for a year. It would just be for a year, but it's 8 years, Albert. 8 long years, Albert.
Right now, she's practicing with the Southern Guilford voice coach. She just auditioned for and won a spot in the spring production of Bye Bye Birdie. Theater arts teacher Sherry Rayford describes Alex as a talented student.
Alex just has a certain energy about her that if you've met her personally, you see it in person. But on stage, that same energy comes out and it magnifies times 10.
Just like the school system, individual teachers have had to make innovative adjustments for Alex. Drama teacher Rayford has altered all of her stage lights so that Alex can act in school plays.
Alex has a meter that measures the UV rays, and if she goes out in the sun or if she's on stage, you have to take this meter and it has to read, I don't know, there's a certain number it can't go over or it's dangerous to her. And when we got the new lighting system, I went on stage and I took her meter and it just went off the charts. And she said, Miss Rayford, I just have to know that for the spring production we're going to be able to work this out. And so we'll do whatever we need to do to make the lights right for Allie. And her personality will transcend any of the fact that the lights won't be quite as bright.
The English teacher's mind.
Educating Alex also presented challenges to environmental teacher Deborah James. She learned to develop creative lesson plans so Alex would receive the same education her classmates often took for granted.
Tomorrow we'll be going outside to scatter beans, and they pick them up like they're predators, like these were little organisms.
Every Southern Guilford High School student must complete an environmental science class to graduate.
I have an alternative for Alex to do in the media center inside. But you have to look. I mean, I can't just open my teacher textbook and find instant activities for these people. I have to, you know, be creative and imaginative. And, you know, I spend time on the internet trying to find other activities or alternative activities for Alex to do.
But that level of support evaporates when Alex graduates in May. She and her parents realize that no college anywhere can adapt buildings and staff to fit the limitations of XP. It makes choosing a career or vocation just that much more difficult.
Just trying to, since I want to work out of the home, trying to figure out something I can do out of the home and trying to figure out what exactly I want to do scares me more than having to deal with XP, because I can take night classes and that'll be fine. But just trying to figure out what I want to do scares me more.
Alex may soon spend more time explaining her disease to strangers. Her father says his family usually offers long and short explanations to people who ask questions about XP. The short answer? She's allergic to the sun. An accurate answer gets more complex.
Whenever we go out in the sun, we get sun damage, and our body will repair most of it, and our damage that goes unrepaired is cumulative. And we'll start seeing skin cancers at 60, 70, 80. XP patients repair much less damage. In Alex's case, it's about 4%. And her remaining 96% goes unrepaired. But it is just as cumulative. as our damage is. And instead of seeing damage at 60, 70, 80 years old, they're seeing damage at 6, 7, 8 years old.
Still, Alex has a very calm approach toward having XP.
It's not really that big of a deal with the friends that I have and family that I have. I've had family members who have forgotten and have asked me to go outside and do something. I'm like, okay, I'll go outside and do that. And then I was kind of standing there looking, and they're like, wait a minute, you can't do that. I'm like, I know.
Even her best friend, Mandy Gossett, finds a benefit to XP.
It's just easy for me to work around for XP. My parents understand, and like if we want to go do something, they let me have a longer curfew. They say it's okay, you can do that because you're going out with Alex.
The excursions Mandy and Alex plan may not always have to take place after dark. Advances in genetic research look promising, but there's still no cure. Until that day comes, Neil Johnson has this philosophy for dealing with xeroderma pigmentosum.
It's not a death sentence. It's not even a bleak existence. It's an adjustment. You have to change things, but you can still live a very happy, very fulfilling, very full, very almost normal life. A lot of people wouldn't think it's normal, but it's just what you have to do.
I'm not one to talk highly about myself at all, but I try to make the best of it. I've lived this way pretty much all my life, and now I don't know of living any other way. And my dad always says, when life gives you lemons, you gotta make lemonade, and I make one heck of lemonade.
It's not having what you want, it's wanting what you
Sunshine and Darkness was produced by Marty Covington. The editor was Sora Newman. The show was mixed by Jared Weisbrot, with production assistance by Brian Henley and Charles Covington. This show originally aired as part of our ongoing series on technology in education, with support from the U.S. Department of Education. Special thanks to the Xeroderma Pigmentosum Society, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and Emory University in Atlanta. If you missed part of this program, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can. Just visit us online at soundprint.org, where you'll find links to more information, books, related shows, and also listening links for our programs. That address again is soundprint.org. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. You can always get in touch with us. We want to know what you're thinking. Just drop an email to talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint CDs are available for purchase for a small fee. Call us toll-free at 1-888-38-TAPES, and we'll send you your favorite episodes. On the next Soundprint, we explore different methods of testing, evaluating, and improving education. These stories next week on Soundprint. Soundprint is production assistant Nkechi Mogekwu and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.